Hello, and welcome to the Computing Conversations column. This column is from the May 2014 issue of IEEE Computer and is titled Nathaniel Borenstein, Multipurpose Internet Mail Extensions, or MIME. There is supporting video material for this column that you can find in the IEEE Computer Society YouTube channel or in the IEEE Digital Library. I'm the editor of the column, and I'm Charles Severance from the University of Michigan. Today we think nothing of dragging a photo or spreadsheet into the email message we're composing and then pressing send. But as far back as 1990, email was primarily a text-only medium using the Latin character set. As messages moved across gateways connecting disparate networks such as BitNet, Usenet, and SFNet, messages were regularly corrupted. I recently met with Nathaniel Borenstein, chief scientist of MIMECAST, and one of the co-authors, along with Ned Fried, of the Multipurpose Internet Mail Extensions, or MIME, to talk about the tremendous leap from yesterday to today. Borenstein's interest in email started when he was a graduate student at Carnegie Mellon University. He was assigned to maintain a departmental email system in 1980 as part of a service commitment.
I never set out to go into the business of email. I got to graduate school, and Carnegie Mellon at the time, I think still, had a thing called the Lieberman queue. And grad students had to be in a queue, and when their number came up, they were assigned a sort of community service to the department. And mine was maintaining this ancient email system on TOPS 10. And it was such a crufty system that I got motivated to just rewrite a system on Unix. So I wrote a mail system there.
When he graduated and started looking for a job, Jim Morris, his thesis advisor and the leader of the Andrew Project, invited Borenstein to stay at CMU and build the world's greatest email system. But building an application for the Andrew environment was a far cry from the typical email user interface.
Email was a text thing in English only. There were extensions that had been made for other languages, but they only worked within national or linguistic communities. So if a Japanese person went to France and used a computer there, he wouldn't be able to read Japanese email. So that was clearly not an optimal situation. Also back then, we didn't have just the internet. We had a whole bunch of networks. We had BitNet, we had Usenet, there were NSFNet, and people sent mail to each other across these networks. They were connected by gateways that were not always perfect.
Using the Andrew platform, they were able to build a multimedia-enhanced application to exchange messages. But the Andrew community was a small set of the worldwide users.
What really got me thinking standards was this. One day, Steve Jobs came to visit, and we demoed the Andrew message system to him. And he immediately tried to hire our whole team, and nobody went. You know, I suspect that was one of his worst days ever in hiring. So he went home. This was when he was with Next Computers, and he put together a team to build a multimedia mail system. So Next Mail is sort of an imitation of the Andrew mail system. And, you know, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. That's wonderful. I didn't have any problem with it. But once it was built, it was hard to ignore the fact that while my users could send pictures to each other, and his users could send pictures to each other, my users couldn't send pictures to his users because we weren't doing it the same way.
As Borenstein started to think about who might be interested in a standard about message format interoperability, he realized that there were a number of important stakeholder groups interested in improving the ability to exchange enhanced mail among different systems and networks.
There are a lot of people, almost all outside the U.S., worrying about the language problem, worrying about getting non-English characters and in other languages into email. And there was a third problem. There were people who worked on gateways, this gateway problem I described before, who wanted standards for formatting that would make it possible to gateway a higher level of information to some of these other systems. So what MIME was a fortuitous coming together of those three needs. And the man who deserves credit for starting that process was a man named Einar Steferud, who's one of the great unsung heroes of the internet. He was on the internet from the early 70s. He started the first internet mailing list. So he was a pioneer in many ways. He was also kind of ornery and I think didn't get as much credit as he should have because of that. He passed away a few years ago. Anyway, he introduced me to Ned Fried. Ned was working on gateway issues. We quickly met a lot of people who were interested in the language issue, and I was interested in the multimedia issue, and quickly found that we could put together a solution for all of those things. And what's good about that from a standards perspective is bandwagon.
Borenstein had just moved from Carnegie Mellon to Belcore just before the MIME standardization effort got started. He and his collaborators decided to start a working group in the Internet Engineering Task Force, or IETF, to develop a draft standard.
When you put together those three motivations I mentioned, multimedia, multi-language, and gatewaying, you had a lot of people concerned. And it doesn't matter how much goodwill you have. When you have that many people involved, there's going to be differences of opinion. I'd say there were about 70 people involved, not all of them as actively as others.
It took roughly a year and a half to produce a stable first draft and publish it as an IETF RFC, or Request for Comments. The response was immediate.
It was a roaring success, almost overnight. One reason, I think, was that the whole time I was writing the draft, I had a program called MetaMail that I had written, and I was updating it to follow each version of the draft. And what MetaMail did was it allowed you to make a very simple patch to existing text-only mail systems, and it would call programs that could display the MIME parts. So all of a sudden, these ancient systems with a very little amount of work started working with this cool stuff, languages, pictures.
Borenstein simultaneously released the MetaMail software as open source and the MIME RFC 1341 publication to make adoption as simple as possible.
We released the MIME standard, and then I released the MetaMail software, and I started getting patches for it, you know, people augmenting it the next day. And within the first week, this was a Unix program, within the first week, I got the patches for the DOS port and the Amiga port.
The MIME standard was clearly the right solution at the right time. It greatly benefited from the earlier protocol development of the OSI X400 email protocol as well. X400 was complete, well-designed, and highly functional, but completely impractical for incremental adoption. Critical to MIME's success was keeping it simple and backwards compatible, enough to be an extension to existing practice rather than something new.
X400 was the email standard from the OSI protocol stack, which was supposed to replace the whole TCP/IP stack, and never did. And we looked, a lot of us looked at X400, which was tremendously complex and would be very hard to integrate with existing mail systems. And so our more simplified approach was a reaction to that. And that's why you have some things in MIME that you would never design if you were designing from scratch. So for example, 80 column lines. I mean, the limit's a little longer than that, but basically limited line lengths. Why is that? It dates back to teletypes. Actually, it goes further back than that. It goes back to punch card machines, because the first video terminals had 80 columns so that they could easily handle punch cards because they had interoperability, and just went on from then. So basically, your mail today is limited to 80 column lines, more or less, because punch card machines were 100 years ago.
In addition to MIME's quick adoption for email, the emerging World Wide Web needed a way to handle the file types other than plain text and HTML.
I got mail from a fellow who was working on this this project in Switzerland I'd never heard of, and he said, I'm working on the project called the World Wide Web, and right now it's text only, and we're looking for how to make it multimedia, and we were thinking that MIME might be the way to do it. Do you have any opinions or ideas?
The web adopted the MIME approach to registering and identifying different types of content. The MIME content type registry continues to be an important mechanism for allowing applications to identify different types of data being exchanged. The number of registered content types continues to grow.
At its core, the most important part of MIME, as you say, is the content type registry. So if I need to be able to send you some weird type of data that I've just invented, I have to label that somehow. And there's a way to label it for experimental stuff, but there's a registry to go to for something that you want to be interoperable, semi-permanently at least. And when we released the MIME standard, I think it had 17 content types that defined, something between 10 and 20. And last I looked, the IANA registry of MIME types was over 1,000, I think 1,200 or something. So that kind of extensibility did not hurt either, because a lot of people who had totally different motivations, you know, for what they wanted to do, had an easy way to identify the data for the web and for email. Yeah.
Sometimes a less than elegant standard that's a perfect fit for real-world marketplace constraints is the best solution. By ensuring that the MIME standard was always implementable as a simple extension to existing email systems, MIME triggered a rapid switch from plain text to advanced mail around the world and across many systems. The content type registry helps keep an increasingly complex set of mail and web applications and data formats interoperable. Not too bad of an outcome for a graduate student who was randomly assigned the task of maintaining a departmental email system way back in 1980. This column is from the May 2014 issue of IEEE Computer and is titled Nathaniel Borenstein, Multipurpose Internet Mail Extensions, or MIME. There is supporting video material for this column that you can find in the IEEE Computer Society YouTube channel or in the IEEE Digital Library. I am the editor of the column, and I'm Charles Severance from the University of Michigan.